This evening, I want to continue with these lessons from the book of Luke. And today I finish one part, which is we've been talking about money, wealth, and possessions. Today is the last sermon on this theme. And then the following week, we'll be talking about the Lord's table, about communion. But I invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 16. It's a kind of well-known parable. Luke chapter 16, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 15. And so if you have your Bible, you can have your Bible open so you could follow on the screen. So Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 15. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe to my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'How much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Amen. I have been, as I said, been preaching on money, wealth, and possessions. And Jesus tells this parable, the parable of the dishonest manager. This text from Luke 16 contains perhaps one of the most difficult parables of this gospel. And it seems that Jesus is commending the dishonest manager. What is Jesus' message when he says, "Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth"? Or what is that all about? This parable presents us with some difficulties. This parable treats essential attitudes on how we handle our money, our life, our skills, our possessions. The rich man has a manager, but this manager was not managing his master's possessions well. When he's about to lose his job, he had a plan. The plan is that the manager goes to his master debtors and reduces their debts. Now, the question is, was he sacrificing his commission? He's doing something right. He has his commission, and what he's doing is sacrificing his commission. Or perhaps what happened here is that when the manager is quite clever, because the people who owe more, the master is a good man, so I'm going to pay now. Or perhaps they have an agreement. We don't know here what's going on, but the result of this, the master commended the dishonest manager. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. The master didn't praise the dishonest manager for his dishonesty. No. He commended him for his shrewdness, his clever thinking. In the midst of a crisis, he comes with a good idea. He goes and deals with the problem. Maybe what Jesus is asking us as his followers to imitate the qualities of this dishonest man. He's telling the story. And the story is not quite clear, but perhaps he said, well, look at these good qualities on this dishonest man. We need prudence and wisdom in a time of crisis. We should take advantage of the opportunity to make provision for eternal life. We need to be ready. Now, the basic thing here in this passage is stewardship. That is the topic as we read this whole passage. Money, wealth, and life, everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have, we belong to God. So we are called to be good administrators. Stewardship. Because it doesn't belong to us. My life, my possessions, my knowledge, my skills, they don't belong to me. They belong to God. So we are called to be good managers, good administrators. The first thing we see here is that money is a debt we owe to God. Our possessions, our wealth, our skills, our life is a debt we owe to God. Jesus made clear that money and other material possessions are not ours. None of it belongs to us. It's not our wealth. You know why? Because one day we must go and leave it all. Like, as I said this morning, I haven't seen a baby born with an iPhone. And sometimes with young people, you know, they're just so glued to the iPhone. It's like people worship their iPhones or whatever. What is more expensive? It's not, well, you know, these expensive gadgets. And or maybe people there worship their cars. When we go, are we taking something? Nothing. So that's what Jesus always, he says, everything belongs to God. When we were born, we brought nothing into this world, and we shall take nothing when we die. Verse 9 says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In verse 9, Jesus' disciples are called to be generous. Generous with our time, generous with our skills, generous with our money, generous who we are. Jesus' disciples are called to be generous. Now, some people say, oh, it's about almsgiving to the poor. No, this passage is not about alms to the poor. That is in the view here. That is not the view here. It's the general use of one person's possessions. It's the general use of money. It's the general use of wealth. And some people say, well, it's about charity. You know, alms is money or goods given to those in need as an act of charity. So if a person has some money or something, you just give something to that person. Here, he's not talking about charity. In our context, it's not something about charity, but it's to be sensitive to the use of resources, the resources God provides in ways that pleases him. We are simple administrators of our skills. our money, our possessions, our knowledge. We are, it doesn't belong to us. It don't belong to us. There is a two-word picture. We are simple administrators of the things God has given us. And let me give you an example. We are going to read together this verse. This is the King David. And he says this. Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 to 12. Shall we read together? Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head of all. Wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Yours, says David. Yours. Yours. When people give charity or almsgiving, it's something, if we do it properly, that only God has to know. It's in secret. Not to show off to people. And that is the reason why Jesus says you need to be attentive. The manager, it's interesting, the manager have not fired, no, he was not fired yet by his master. Because it pictures perhaps God being patient with us. When we are young, in our parents, well, I'm talking about myself, we could say, it's my life. When mom or dad says something, it's my life anyway. Sometimes we are a little bit, we have more knowledge and we have a good profession. It's my business. God is patient with us. And that's the picture here. He has not been fired. God is waiting for us to be attentive until we realize that everything belongs to Him. Everything that we have belongs to God. Even your life, if you are young and strong. When we are young, we want to change the world. And I get into a place where you wonder if you can do something about it. But God is patient with us. The second thing is the use of money or wealth is an index of our spiritual lives. The use of what we have or who we are is an index of our spiritual life. Verse 8, as I go before the verse we just read. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. What he's saying, for the people of this world are more attentive. They are more diligent than the What is it that the Lord is trying to tell us here? Well, the master commended the manager. And Jesus is saying, if you are only attentive to the details, to do goodness, to do righteousness, to be righteous, to increase your spiritual life, like the other people do, this man is ready to do something. And sometimes we have our lives and we don't care about our spiritual life. We don't read the Bible. We don't go to church. And let me give you an example. We have our families. We have our jobs. We have our studies. We have our business. And sometimes when I used to the church, I was before here, we have a smaller congregation. And I was wondering when it was raining during the early years, how many people will come to church today? Because some people, during the week when I went to visit, they say, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't in church on Sunday because it was raining. And then when it was snow, it was worse. I said, oh, how many people are coming this Sunday? I'm sorry, Freddie, I wasn't able to come because we have snow. And then it was summertime. And they said, I'm sorry, Freddie, I wasn't able to come because it was too hot. It was a no-win. But I wonder when we have to work. You have to be there 9 o'clock. You will be there 9 o'clock. If we have a duty with our families. It's raining anyway. We are going on holiday. We take it, isn't it? You are not going to cancel the holiday, have you? But particularly here in Wales. Our businesses, we just been there. That's what Jesus is telling. The people outside, they are more diligent with their business. Are you diligent? Or you are making excuses to serve the Lord? You just go to work. That is what Jesus said. We should have the same attitude. How we use our money, how we use our time, how we use our skills, how we use our talents is an indicator of our spiritual life. Sometimes we get distracted. We overlook our family, our friends. And sometimes we could act unethically, you know, because we want to do something. We want to get more money, perhaps. One of the temptations that keep people out of the kingdom of God is the longing for wealth. The proper use of money in our times, in our skills, is a sign of what's going on in our spiritual lives. We just keep on working and working and working and working and busy about ourselves. Jesus said, hey, look. Verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. It indicates that all of a person's activities matter, for they reveal the nature of this person's character. Sometimes people said, I do not have money, so I cannot help. Other people say, I do not have time. God has given you perhaps money, and perhaps you have a little time to serve. God wants to see how you work with that. Or perhaps he has given you not much money, but you have plenty of time to help, to enlarge his kingdom. Some people say, well, I don't have money and time. You have skills and talents. So still you can do something about it. Do you see the point? That's what Jesus is saying. Look at this man. Hey, look, look. Oh, I cannot do it. I have a friend. I will not say who he said, but, you know. And when I was younger, I think when I was 12 years old, I used to hear this. He was then 20. And he used to say, I remember, you know, he used to say, I will not work in a place when I don't have my office and I don't have people who are going to be under my direction. I want to be, you know, a CEO. I will work when I have those opportunities. He was 20 there. He's 62 now. He's still waiting for that. You see the point? Some people say, I cannot help in the church because I cannot speak in front of people. Take my example. You know, sometimes I am in trouble because I didn't have phonetics in English when I was, you know, my children's age. So sometimes I will, you know, and I come and speak to you and I say, I don't have that skill. The Lord will give it to you. If we are willing to serve, if we are like this man, that we are attentive in what to do or what not to do. Never say that. The use of our money, our wealth, our skill is an index of our spiritual life. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. So we need to be faithful. Are we preaching in churches where sometimes we wonder if people are listening to us as a preacher? Let's carry on being faithful with those little. things. Are you in college or university, and then your friends mock you, your friends ridicule you, your friends play around you because of your faith? Be faithful with that little. My friends being in the Navy, most of my friends, they will be going to the nightclubs and all that or something, and or drinking a lot, and sometimes I feel lonely. Perhaps you feel lonely. You know what I like? After many years, when I receive phone calls or emails, now retired, officer retired, so enlisted man retired, said, can you help me with this? I admire your faith. And that's very humbling, isn't it? Because we are called not to be selfish. Selfishness in little things reveal one's character and can indicate how big areas will be handled. Are you struggling? You think, oh, I don't have the talent to do this. I don't have the time to do this. My God, to be like this man, like this dishonest manager. Hey. Because that is what God will place you into more things if we are faithful. We are not selfish with little things. It's not talking only about money. It's not talking about everything. Are we giving to God cheerfully? It is an index of what is taking place in our spiritual life. Are we using our money rightly? Our time? Are we using our talents? The much results in the least. Therefore, the least is an indicator of what is going on in our spiritual life. The point here is that being faithful in small things like money, our time, our talents, our wealth, demonstrates that we are ready to handle more important items such as spiritual blessings. We need to be attentive to what's going on. Finally, the proper use of money, the proper use of our wealth, the proper use of our talent is an investment for eternity. The proper use of our time, the proper use of our wealth. There is a Jewish saying, Rabbi says, the rich will help the poor in the world, and the poor will help the rich in the world to come. So that's important. They make emphasis in charity. Charity will stand on the man's credit in the world to come. So that's the reason why they do a lot of charity. In Christian life, that's not the case. As Christians, we are to be good administrators, and this is a training for larger services in the life to come. If someone loves Jesus, will be faithful in the use of what is entrusted to him or to her. Your time, your wealth, your skills. Jesus is telling the example of this manager who did it for himself. He wants us to do it to enlarge his kingdom. How are we doing? Possessions is not a problem. You have a lot of possessions. Praise the Lord. The only difference is that when we have more possessions and money, is more responsibility. So if a person has more skills, more talents, more wealth, is what? More responsibility. That's the only difference. How are we doing? Have we been good administrators? Money should not and cannot be our ultimate priority. A steward cannot be serving two masters. The Pharisees who have loved money heard this and they were angry at Jesus. Because Jesus says to honor God means to be faithful to him in all areas of life. In Ecuador years ago, they used to be like, in Christmas, they used to collect a lot of money for the poor people. And it made those years, talking about years ago, alcohol was a problem in the society because that was quite common. The Fridays they will drink, people will drink like mad. And then what happened? Well, we have accidents. The husbands will go and beat their wives. And it was all kind of social problems. And that was the reality. You know what? Even we have children affected because alcoholism was a problem. But on Christmas, you know, what was the company who will give more money in charity? The companies who made beer and alcohol. And it was amazing, you know. And it's, did you see the Jesus saying? He said to be faithful in him in all areas of our lives. Because sometimes we could be just, we keep it in one area of our lives. You know, the manager was attentive and diligent. That is what Jesus is asking us to imitate. It's not just one area, it's everything. You know, the problem is this. We have part-time jobs. We could work here part-time, but also we could work there. But there is no real commitment. And sometimes we ended up being part-time Christians. We're spare-time Christians. Jesus told us in this parable, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. A good steward cannot be faithful to two masters at the same time. And sometimes we become like a part-time Christians. We are okay on Sundays, but Monday we act differently, Tuesday differently. Oh, we have a meeting on Wednesday. We put our Christian hat, part-time Christians, and then Thursday we use another hat. You remember the declaration of Thomas? I don't know why this three times it comes. Thomas, the climax declaration of any Christians, my Lord and my God. That is what Jesus is asking us. Hey, am I your Lord? I am your Master? I am your God? The values of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were not endorsed by God. Jesus' followers are to use their money, their possessions, their talents unselfishly, generously, and faithfully. In the New Testament, we have many examples. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, in Acts chapter 4, we read it this morning, we find examples about how early Christians used their money and possessions. We can use our money to help our neighbors, our friends, but this is not all about. God is calling us to be faithful administrators, to use our time, our skills, our lives to build treasures in heaven. Are we just part-time Christians? Shall we read again the words of King David? Let us read. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Wealth and honor come from you. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. We put our lives to the service of the Lord. We either belong to him or we don't belong to him. A steward cannot be faithful to two masters at the same time. To honor God means to be faithful to him in all areas of our lives. The manager was attentive and diligent. That is what Jesus is asking us to imitate. Have you been a good administrator of your time and your life? Are you ready to meet your master when he is going to ask you, what have you done with your life, with your talents, with your skill? I cannot say this is my Bible. I am amazed when I go to this charity shops, when somebody dies, everything, most of the things are given away. And perhaps you spend so much time looking after a property saying, this is not mine. I will die tomorrow. And what I have will be given away, perhaps. The house we are living is not ours. The car you are driving is not yours. Everything belongs to God. And God is asking us to be attentive, to be diligent. What are you doing with your life? Are you serving Him? Are you building treasures in heaven? Are we just part-time Christians? May the Lord help us to imitate this dishonest manager, to be ready to give the glory to Him, because everything belongs to Him, not to us. May the Lord help us, like David says, to give Him glory, because everything belongs to our Father in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this difficult parable, that we wonder what will be the message. Thank you for the example of this dishonest man, that he was able to be attentive and diligent to find answers. Thank you for the example of your patience, of this master waiting for this manager to realize the things that he was supposed to do. And Father, we pray for ourselves that you could help us to realize that everything belongs to you, and help us to use our possessions to make friends, to be fruitful on our front line, to help them to come to know you, to give you glory, because all the glory, all the honor belongs to you. So Father, forgive us when we forget that everything belongs to you, and we are to give our lives to you, so you can use our lives for your glory. Father, I pray for that person this evening. They're still searching, still seeking, that this person could come to you like Thomas and said, my Lord and my God. Not help us not to be part-time Christians, but to be people like this manager who are diligent and ready to do your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray.